The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle Bowl edition. The Hoosiers are headed to New York City to play in the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, hence the Frank Sinatra. TJ, how are you this morning? Hopefully the weather is nice in Indianapolis. It is gorgeous down here in Florida.
Well, it's not, you know, swimming weather as you likely have in Florida, but it's for December. It's certainly not going to be something you complain about. It's, mid-50s, the sun's out, so cannot complain at all, and that was very appropriate music for the occasion. It was love some Frank Sinatra, and it's really good to be able to have this show talking about an IU season that continues with the bowl game.
Yeah, we're going to talk bowl game, some recruiting. We've had a lot of recruiting news over the past week. We decided to just make it a whole big show on Friday. TJ, 50 degrees is swimming weather for some people in the Polar Bear Club,
true.
But or if you have an indoor pool. But I don't think Hoosier Huddle has the funds for an indoor pool yet.
No.
So maybe next year. maybe next year. We will also go over some playoff picks. The Big Ten Championship game, TJ, I was there. The atmosphere was unbelievable. Iowa fans, I think it's almost a 70-30 split. The Michigan State fans, you know, they were there. They're loud. They're into it. It's nothing against them, but it was Iowa's biggest of in their history, and those fans showed up in droves. They were loud, and it was awesome and rocking in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, it looked great on TV. I know that you just think about it from a city of Indianapolis standpoint, which is not what this podcast is about, but from a city of Indianapolis standpoint, which is where we live, it's really great to continue to have such good fan support for the Big Ten title game. I know that the SEC title game usually has very good fan support, and it's been in the same location for a long time. The ACC title game usually does not. It had very good support this year, but it usually doesn't. So you kind of have a mixed bag of these title games where sometimes it doesn't come off so well. The American Conference title game, they hold theirs at the highest ranked team. They hold that at their location, which I think is a good reward for that team. And I watched that game with Houston and Temple earlier in that day on Saturday, and that was a great atmosphere just from a, you know, home standpoint for Houston. So it's all really a mixed bag, but I think the Big Ten year in and year out has the, I don't know if it's the best, either them and the SEC has kind of that best atmosphere from a neutral stadium point of view, and having a team like Iowa that hasn't been there play-in game. I mean, the committee can say whatever they want. That's what it was. It was a play-in game for the college football playoff.
Yeah, it was a quarterfinal game.
Right, yeah. So huge stakes. And it came across really well on TV. The game itself, I thought it was certainly very physical. I thought that both teams were a little conservative for the first half, which is understandable. You definitely don't want to do something that's going to end up costing you. So I thought that both schools' offensive coordinators were maybe a little bit conservative, but the second half was very exciting. Certainly not a shootout like you might have in some games, but you know, it was what we expected. It was physical. It was very close. I thought it was two evenly matched teams that ended up being separated by really an inch, as L.J. Scott was able to get in just with, you know, a second effort, reaching the ball across the goal line on a 22-play drive for Michigan State. That's about as impressive as you're going to find. And it was clear that Connor Cook was not 100%. So I'm going to be interested to see, and we'll talk about this game at a later date or later on today, but I'll be interested to see whether or not Connor Cook can get back to being himself before they take on Alabama. They're certainly going to need him in that one, but ultimately it was just a really, really great game for the Big Ten and overall a good event for the city of Indianapolis. I hope that it continues to be in Indianapolis, you know, long, long term, because I think it's a really good event that the city puts on really well, and that's the kind of thing that Indianapolis does really well. So
yeah, that's
great.
What I wanted to touch on, TJ, is that Indianapolis does such an awesome job at these big events. I was at the Super Bowl when it was there, the Final Four last year. They do all these big events really, really great, and you know, the weather was good this year. It wasn't raining like last year, and that helps it out. But we're going to bring in Matt Weaver from Pegs.com, talk a little recruiting. Matt, welcome to the show. Sorry I gave you the wrong phone number again. Hopefully you didn't call a stranger's house looking for the podcast again. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're doing excellent. Hopefully the weather's nice enough in Indy you could break out your new golf clubs this week.
Yeah, it's actually pretty nice today. Not too bad.
Good. Matt, Indiana has had two JUCO recruits commit this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about those. First, how about Richard? Is it Legault? Can you tell us a little bit about the quarterback from Texas?
Yeah, he's a big guy. I mean, if you physically, he's almost exactly the same as Nate, about the same height, 6'6", around 240, which is about what Nate is. Can really throw the ball like Nate can. His arm strength might actually be just a tad better than Nate's. He's not gonna be a huge threat like Nate is running the ball, but can run it well enough, kind of like Nate, where you can still use him occasionally in the read option and let him keep it, and he can pick up some positive yards for you. But his strength is standing in the pocket and scanning the field and throwing the ball, because he's a big, big, strong pocket passer, and you know, obviously in Indiana's offense, that's proven to be pretty effective.
Right, and Indiana going forward needed a quarterback. Is he the guy who's going to start right away, or is he going to have to beat out Xander Diamont and Austin King and Patrick Ramsey in order to get that spot?
He's going to have to win the job. I mean, nothing's going to be handed to him, but, you know, Coach Wilson's theory or motto, whatever, with junior college players is you don't recruit junior college guys to come in and just be depth players or backups. You recruit them to come in hopefully start and be impact guys, because you only have them for a couple years. And if it takes you a year or so just to get them in the mix, then you kind of wasted a scholarship. So, you're not going to be handed to them. And if Xander Diamond or Ramsey or Austin King or whoever is just outstanding and wins the job, then they'll play. But, you know, I think it's a safe bet to say that he's the odds-on favorite to win the job, and coming here for spring is really going to help him, get up to speed with the offense and the other guys.
Now, you know, going forward, quarterback was that missing piece for next season. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's still a bowl game to play. How good can this team be next year with Legault at quarterback?
I think the offense can be, you know, if you kind of think that he's, going to live up to the hype and he's, relatively close to what Nate gives you this year, the offense shouldn't miss a beat. I mean, now you kind of want to see, you're going to lose Jason Spriggs, you're going to lose Jake Reed for sure off the O-line. if Dan Feeney has the opportunity to possibly go pro, I mean, you know, first team All Big Ten, All American, just played fantastic this year. You know, so if you lose him, I think the O-line will still be good, but it's you're obviously going to be in transition. They got a lot of talent there. It could take them a few games to kind of get their feet under them. And then, you know, what does Jordan Howard do? You know, the one guy we haven't seen that Coach Wilson's raved about is Kameon Patrick. Wherever he plays next year, he's going to be a big, big impact player. Then you get Jayshon Harris back, and then everybody else will be a year older and, you know, hopefully a year better. So I think the offense – I don't think the offense will be – you know, you worry about it a little bit just because there's going to be some transition. But Kevin Wilson's always put good offenses out there, and I don't expect that to change next year.
Right. And another JUCO kid who recruited was Ian Thompson out of Nassau Community College in New York. He's a tight end. Tell us a little bit about Ian, Matt.
He's from Baltimore originally. I don't think he was a big time recruit out of high school. He had to go to JUCO. He had, you know, that academically he fell short. 6'5", 225, probably, I would guess by the time that he's a May grad, so he won't be here in the spring. But he'll be graduating in May and then be here, you know, the first week of June when everybody else is. So he'll have a few months to get up to speed. But they, you know, I know they really liked him. He's an athletic guy. You watch his film. You know, he can catch the ball. He can really get yards after the catch. Probably going to need to bulk up a little bit to really help him in the blocking game. But with you know, if you get Danny Friend back from his injury, it looks like Danny Friend could play in the bowl game, so he seems to be back. And then if Brandon Knight's still at tight end, you got two blocking tight ends right there, so he could be more of a pass catcher. I think he's kind of in the Jordan Fuchs mold, but he, you know, I think that he's a guy they see as could help him in the blocking game, but he's probably going to have to get a little bit bigger. But this is another guy you could split out wide or receiver in that slot and create some mismatches in your passing game.
Right, and we've seen some recruits decommit. Tyus Flakes, after his official visit, seemed like it was going so well. He decommitted, I believe it was on Sunday. Is there anything there, or is it something that he just wasn't a good fit and didn't like what he saw here?
I just think it was a case where both sides maybe didn't see it as a great fit after kind of bringing him in. I mean, that doesn't happen a lot, but it's not completely – you know, you have to remember when you're in recruiting, you only have so much time to get to know guys. And coaches do a good job at all schools, not just Indiana. But, you know, sometimes you bring a guy in for a couple nights and maybe you bring him in and he's not quite what you thought. And maybe Indiana was not quite what he thought. So I think it was just a case where they both just kind of thought it would be maybe better to part ways. I mean, he messaged me and said he'd like to play a little bit closer to home. So, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but it's better to find it out now than, you know, next September after he's been on campus for a few months, and then you're like, and he transfers, and then a guy that you're maybe counting on or a scholarship you had given, now you're kind of, you just lost a player. So it's the timing is not the greatest, but it's not terrible. So, you know, it's just one of those deals that happens in recruiting.
Right. Go ahead, TJ.
Yeah, With the decommitment of Tyus Flakes, you know, they still have a Cole Guest as a guy from Ohio that he's projected in a couple different spots, maybe running back, maybe kind of a slot type guy. But what do you think they do now at running back? Because I know they, you know, every school likes to bring in at least one guy at that position every year, maybe two guys. So how do you see that shaking out as we move forward with the 2016 class?
Well, I think they'll definitely bring in another guy because, you know, obviously they were going to bring in two with Flakes and Guest, and now you're down one. And, you know, even if Howard's back, they were going to bring in two. If for some reason Jordan Howard decides not to come back, you've got to definitely bring in two, in my opinion. And it wouldn't shock me to see a third guy. But they're bringing in a guy this weekend, Tyler Natee, from out of Euless, Texas. He will probably play some running back, but he's kind of a unique guy. He's a guy that – Coach Wilson kind of used when he was in Oklahoma, and they kind of used an H-back, fullback type of guy. He's 6 foot, 255 pounds, and played quarterback for one of the best teams in the state of Texas. And he's not a burner. I mean, he's about probably high 4'6", right around 4'7", so he's not going to break a bunch of long runs. But He's got really good balance, hard to tackle, and he's a guy that you could use in a couple different roles. They did a story on him. He said they told him some running back, some fullback, some H-back, even like an offset tight end. It's just, I think it's a guy that they're in this, since they've been in Indiana, they haven't really had a guy like this, and they're kind of creating a role for him like Coach Wilson had at Oklahoma. And then there's probably some other guys that could pop up. Trey Regis from Louisiana is a guy they've talked to. Trey Nation who's from Alabama. I think it's Leedsville, Alabama, is another guy that I've heard him kind of mentioned with. But I think right now it's Nate, and then we'll see in January, you know, if he he could commit this weekend if he doesn't, or if it looks like they may not get him, maybe they start looking elsewhere.
Right. Matt, there are some in-state recruits who are on the fence about IU and some guys who, you know, might flip. Are there any in-state guys that you think IU ends up landing now that they have their sixth win and that bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, I think they lead for Coy Cronk. He's going to Iowa State this week, and he was going to go to Illinois. And I've been hearing all along Indiana and Illinois were the top two. So I'm thinking maybe Illinois might be out now because I think he wants to get it over with soon. I mean, he's talked about maybe taking visits in January, but I think he's kind of getting to the point where he kind of like to end the process. Now, Iowa State's interesting because he wasn't – I don't know how much interest he had in them before, but the coach there obviously now is Matt Campbell from Toledo. They offered him at Toledo. He had a relationship. And they're one of the Illinois coaches that he had a relationship with is now on the staff at Iowa State. But I have to think they're really playing catch-up. I mean, he's been to Indiana a bunch. It's much closer to home, which I've heard is a factor with him. Not that Iowa State's terribly far, but it's obviously, you know, Indiana's much closer. And then he's got the relationship with IU. I think they lead for him. Colin Miller's coming this weekend. He'd be a huge get. He's a pass rush, DN, bandit linebacker type, Hamilton Southeastern. He'll be in this weekend. I think they lead for him. Wouldn't shock me if he committed this weekend, but you never know. And then Keontae Enos, the Michigan commit, is coming this weekend. Hard to say where they sit with him. There's a story on him recently where he said Michigan's not really contacting them that much, like maybe once a month. That's usually schools start doing that when it's kind of like when you're dating a girl and you stop talking to her because you don't want to date her anymore. It's kind of what Michigan's doing to Keontae Enos. So, he could be back on the market. He'd be a good pickup. Javon Swan's coming in this weekend. Stanford Northwestern have really done a good job with him. So, you know, hopefully they can catch up and maybe pull ahead after this weekend. So those right there are the main guys. Been some whispers about Chris Evans possibly, you know, in Indiana being involved, but right now until he visits, I don't consider that serious a serious option.
Right, and Matt, we're gonna get to the bowl game here. Are you excited to go to New York? You know, it's the first bowl game since 2007. What does it mean for the program to play in it and to play a team like Duke, who I believe it's a good matchup game. It's actually one of the better games on the schedule that day. So what does it mean to IU to get a team like Duke, and what would it mean to get a win?
Well, first, of course, I'm excited to go to New York. I got a free place to stay and a free tour guide. So it's already starting off good for me.
Yeah, hopefully you don't get mugged and your tour guide's a good one. So,
it's big for IU. I mean, I think it's a great locale. I think the Pinstripe Bowl is a bowl game. I think it's five or six years old, if I'm not mistaken. And it's grown every year. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people probably were skeptical about a bowl game in that part of the country in December, but it's been a fantastic game. And I think it's great for Indiana. It's, you know, New York City, it's the greatest city in the world. And it's huge. Yankee Stadium doesn't get any bigger than that. And Duke is a quality opponent. David Cutcliffe, who, you know, I think he's been a great coach for a long time. I mean, he did a good job at Ole Miss, obviously at Tennessee as the O coordinator with Peyton Manning. And he's completely – Duke and Indiana are kind of similar programs. They've for so long have not been very good. And he's really done a fantastic job at Duke. And I think it's going to be a good game. Two pretty good offenses. You know, obviously Duke's defense statistically is a little bit better. Actually probably quite a bit better. But, you know, I don't know if they faced an offense other than Clemson like Indiana that's as explosive as this, maybe Carolina. So it'll be it should be a good game. I think it's going to be a good game, probably pretty high scoring depending on the weather. But it's great for Indiana. It's just, I said any bowl game would be great, and they've got a good one in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thanks for joining us. Do remember to bring a coat and probably a hat and gloves. It is an open-air press box at Yankee Stadium, so maybe we'll catch an errant throw or kick because there won't be any foul balls. Maybe we'll take some batting practice as well. But thanks for joining us. Hopefully you get some golf in. I'll send you a picture from the golf course tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank
All
you,
right,
Matt.
Thanks, Matt. That was Matt Weaver from Peak.com. Always great stuff from him on recruiting. Yeah. In-state, you know, you follow him on Twitter. It's at MB_Weaver, I believe. And all of a sudden the season ends and he's popping up on Twitter all the time. So give him a follow. He's all over the recruiting scene for IU. You know, anytime you go to New York and you get a free place to stay and a free tour guide, I'd be a little leery. But we'll take care of Matt in New York. And TJ, let's talk a little bit about the bowl. We're going to have Lyndon Ostrander come on here in about 15 minutes to talk recruiting down in Florida. IU did get a 2017 commit from the Pinellas County area in Tyler Knight. I was tweeting him last night about hockey. So, you know, a little fun banter back and forth. But TJ, you know, this matchup with Duke, you wrote a little bit about it in your get to know Duke piece. We'll have more coverage starting soon. I wish the ACC network had the Duke games like the Big Ten network has all the other games so I could watch them. But how good of a matchup is this? I believe this is one of the better bowl games matchup wise on the 26th.
Yeah. I mean, I think just overall, I agree with what you and Matt are saying any bowl game would be good, but you know, it would have been a little bit of a letdown to, you know, play in a kind of a lesser bowl game or a lesser destination against, I think the big thing is against an opponent. I would not have been thrilled if IU would have been placed against, you know, a MAC school. Not that it wouldn't have been an entertaining game, but just attention wise, you're not going to get, near as much attention if you're taking on, you know, a Northern Illinois or a Toledo. While it would have been a fun game and I still would have been thrilled by you because in a bowl game, I think it's good to play a major conference opponent. As far as Duke goes, you know, they're 7-5 on the season. They went 4-4 in the ACC. Really a tale of two seasons for them. They started out very strong, thumped their first two opponents, and then took on Northwestern, lost to them 19-10 at home, which, you know, at the time, people didn't really know what to think of that game. Well, it turns out Northwestern's a good team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, so that's certainly nothing to be ashamed about. They beat Georgia Tech. They've beaten Boston College. They lost to Virginia Tech, or they beat Virginia Tech in four overtimes. You know, you look at their last month of the season, though, kind of their last five games, losses to Miami. They gave up 66 to North Carolina, lost to Pittsburgh pretty handily, lost to Virginia, who is not a good football team. Common opponent, Wake Forest, their last game of the season, they beat the Demon Deacons 27-21. So, you know, Indiana played Wake Forest earlier in the season, as we know, was very impressive for about 3.5 quarters and then, you know, let Wake Forest get back into the game and have a chance to take it at the end. But so that's kind of a evenly matched opponent there for Indiana. I think Duke is a better defensive team than they are offense. Their defense is top 50 in the S&P Plus. The offense is 91. So total, they're 74th, which is a few spots below Indiana. I think Indiana's like 67th right now. They have a quarterback, dual-threat guy by the name of Thomas Cirque. He's going to be the main guy to watch when Duke has the ball. He has a 60% completion rate. He's thrown for almost 2,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So he's the leading passer, obviously. He's the leading rusher as well. 701 yards on the season. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how Indiana does with that. I think that by and large, they've done a pretty good job against rushing quarterbacks, but they haven't really ended up playing anybody that has tried to run it all that much on them since the opening week of the season with Southern Illinois. They haven't really taken on a quarterback that's made a concerted effort to run a ton. I know C.J. Beathard had a couple of big runs when the pocket broke down. Or, I'm sorry, Jake Rudock, excuse me, for Michigan had a couple of big runs when the pocket broke down. But really, Indiana's done a pretty good job against rushing quarterbacks when they've tried to run on them. Their top running back is the guy that has 534 yards. So they don't have really that one guy at tailback. They carry they kind of split them between three or four guys. Wide receiver-wise, again, very balanced. Four pass catchers that have more than 50 targets. So you're looking at a group that Max McCaffrey is the main guy with 48 catches, 601 yards. They have a guy named Anthony Nash that is 6'5", so he could be somebody that is a problem in the red zone for Indiana because he has the size that might be a concern. I think Tyler Green might end up taking on him whenever Nash is in the game. Offensive line was the fourth best adjusted sack rate in the nation, so they don't give up very many sacks. That could also somewhat be attributed to the mobility of Thomas Cirk, but either way, it's tough to get pressure or sacks on Thomas Cirk, and that's an area that Indiana has struggled with somewhat. And their defense, they've got a safety that was the first-team All-ACC safety. I believe he was the unanimous selection to that. Jeremy Cash is his name, second on the team in tackles, first on the team in tackles for loss. He had 18 of them, which is very impressive for a safety, and it shows you that they use him in a lot of different ways, use him to get pressure or on run blitzes as well. Their top linebacker was Dwayne Norman. He's third-team All-ACC. They had, I think they had five guys on the All-ACC teams, offense and defense combined, a couple on the O-line, and the defenders. So,
they have a big time safety who's now a 2-time All American as well. I think, isn't it Jeremy Cash?
Oh, Cash is that guy. Okay, I didn't know Cash was the 2-time All American, but yeah, he was the unanimous pick on the first team All ACC team. So definitely their best defender. They had a 6-1 record at the start of the year, and then they lost four of their last five to go to a 7-5 finish. So if you're talking strictly momentum, Indiana's won, you know, two in a row, and Duke's lost four of five. So it's kind of a – I wouldn't say that Indiana has a ton of momentum coming into the bowl game. I mean, they beat Maryland and Purdue, so let's not pretend like they've, you know, reeled off four straight against good competition to end the season. But you'd rather win two in a row as opposed to lose four of five. So I think Indiana does have a little bit of momentum for whatever that matters with this, you know, long break. But – yeah, it's an even matchup. It's a winnable game for Indiana. I believe that if you look at the experts, they're expecting like a 2 or 3 point game that has the winning team getting up into the low 30s. So it figures to be a pretty exciting matchup as far as the stakes for it. I know that a lot of people will say, well, the result doesn't matter. Well, I kind of disagree with that. I think that it would do a lot for Indiana to
beat another
Power Conference team. I mean, I think it would.
It gives you a winning record for the first time since 2007. Brings you all the moment. You know, this is the difference between a winning year and a losing year. You're 6-6. If you win this game, you're 7-6. You lose, you're 6-7. So it's something that, you know, 7-6 is not, you know, an awesome record, but it's the first win. It would be the first winning season since 2007. It'd be your first bowl win since 1991. So these are the things on your checklist on becoming a better program that you have to, you know, check off. You have to win a bowl game. You have to have a winning season. That's two right there. You have to go to a bowl game and get that sixth win. That's something they already checked off. They won two road games to end the year. I know it's not it's not a great competition. But how many road games in the Big Ten have they won in the last 10 years? Not many. And they won two in a row with the backs against the wall, where it lost, and they were probably eliminated from bowl contention. So, you know,
you look at kind of where this would put them, where this win would rank in terms of the season. I think it'd be their second best win of the season. I think the Western Kentucky win has proven to be the best. Western Kentucky went on to win Conference USA, and I think they have 10 wins. Is that correct?
I think they have 11 wins. They finished the regular season with 10 wins. They won the Conference USA championship. Okay. And so they're going for 12 wins in the Miami Beach Bowl against, I believe, South Florida. Oh, it's the Willie Taggart Bowl. That's right.
Yeah. So I think that would rank as the best win. And then this would fall in line as the second best team that they've knocked off if they could get the win. So it'd be a second ACC opponent that they would win, that they would defeat. It would give them another win away from home, which would be impressive. And like you said, just in terms of the momentum and the narrative moving into the off season, instead of 6-7, you're looking at 7-6. You've got a winning record. Plus, you feel good about how you played in pretty much all of the games in which you lost. Not all of them, but almost all of them. So I think it would really say a lot about kind of the direction of the program. Plus, you know, you're playing on national TV on a day that a lot of people are going to be home around family with, you know, kind of ready to watch TV and not have to spend any more time talking to extended family or whatever. They've already done that for a day or two. So the 26th, you're not competing with a lot of other things.
You're already sick of extended family by that time.
Yeah.
You throw it on the TV. Yeah. It is an ABC game at 3:30. A lot of eyeballs on it. It should be a good game. That's the big thing. It's not going to be one of these bowl games that's knock on wood. But it should be a good game. And speaking of national coverage, we're going to bring in Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune, who's friend of the show, great contributor. We'll see what he thinks and recruits down there think of IU. And it's just another game that could get eyeballs on the TV. Also, if you win, you get the George M. Steinbrenner Trophy. So it's another trophy to throw in the trophy case and parade around campus. So
a rare bowl game trophy, too. Don't have a lot of those.
Nope. So we're welcoming in Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune. Lyndon, how are you? I'm enjoying the Florida weather as well.
Yeah, me too. You can't beat 70 degrees in December. It's hard to find that in many states in the country. So.
Nope. So, Lyndon, last time we talked, we just talked about some recruits. But Indiana got a commit from a 2017 lineman from he's from Largo, right? Tyler Knight.
No, he's from Northside Christian. He went to Calvary Christian last year up in Clearwater, and he transferred to Northside Christian, where Mike Allstott is the head coach down in St. Pete. He's a pretty athletic guy. He was converted from a tight end to an offensive tackle. He really bulked up over the summer. He's got really good feet. I think that's why colleges really like him, especially Indiana, because he can get out to the edge. And his hands have gotten a lot better. He was started out as a project, and he's really coming into his own. And he's starting to get some looks. So he's doing well.
So it's been a long time, if not ever, that Indiana's gotten a commit from a player who's a junior. How solid is his commitment to Indiana? He seems, I was tweeting him last night about hockey, but he seems to, retweet all my stuff and be really into it. Or is this a case of if somebody, a better program comes along, his recruitment is obviously still open?
Well, obviously he's a junior, so for most juniors, it's going to be open. But he did commit pretty early, and he comes from a school where, you commit and you stay honest, you stay true to the team you're going to commit to. And he's always been talking about Indiana to me, and so is his uncle. They talk about it all the time. And he committed pretty early to you guys. So that's a really good sign. And if he's retweeting your stuff on Twitter, that's always a good sign. You always want to follow the visits and follow the Twitter action. Those are always the biggest indicator. And Indiana was his only real visit. But again, he's a junior, so you just have to wait and see. And if he gets a big offer, he'll have to consider that. But I think he really likes Indiana, and he's a good kid too. He's a really good kid. He's a good fit for that program.
Yep. Lyndon, we saw, Coach Wilson and Greg Fry down in, I believe down in Pinellas County for those championship games and the playoff games. I believe it was the week of Thanksgiving, the week after Thanksgiving. How big of a presence does IU have down here with these schools?
Oh, a huge presence. I mean, a big presence. You know, Greg Fry's an alma mater, Clearwater High School, who's on the rise and down here a lot. I mean, he was down here last year when I first saw him, and he got Hale and Crawford. So right there in itself says a lot. They show their face, and I think that's a big deal to kids is showing up physically, not just talking through Twitter or messaging. It's showing up and showing that you care. And I think Indiana does a great job of showing that they care and offering kids early. That's very key. And they've done a good job, and they have a lot of solid connections with a lot of coaches around here. And they're trying to get kids from Florida, and they've realized that that's a lot of talents down here. And they've done a good job of kind of keeping a mainstay and keeping a hold on this area for the most part. When you compare yourself to other Big Ten schools, you know, they've done a good job of getting those three, you know, high three stars, you know, trying to get those 4 to 5 stars now. But they recognize talent. I think Indiana does a great job of recognizing talent and trying to lure those kids into Indiana.
Right, and another brand recognition thing, now that Indiana has, is going to the bowl game, they've got that 6th win. I know the coach's pitch kind of in the past was, hey, we're building something here. How sure. are playing in bowl games, playing on ABC and these 3:30 games? I think IU has only played in, three or four Big Ten Network games. And at least at my mom's place down here, we don't have Big Ten Network. But how does playing on these national TV games help the brand down in Florida?
Oh, sure. I mean, most kids, if they have dreams of aspirations of, going to NFL or anything like that, playing in a bowl game on national TV is huge for them to showcase their skills. And they want to be seen by all the scouts they can. And, playing on national TV is a big deal to their family. So that if their family can come to the game, they can watch TV. You want to go, some of these high recruits want to go somewhere where they're on a national stage. And, going to Indiana and being able to play in the Big Ten and play Michigan, Ohio State, some of these schools, and then being able to make a bowl game, that's huge. I think kids want to go there. I'll give you an example for down here for USF, playing this year. We're losing a lot of commits and recruits because they weren't doing that well. They weren't, making a bowl game. All of a sudden they have 7-8 wins, and now kids are starting to really consider USF. So I think winning is a big, probably the biggest factor in recruiting is, can I go somewhere where they're going to win, and can I go somewhere where I'm going to be able, on a big stage and be recognized? So it's definitely huge.
All right, Lyndon. What are some of the other prospects that IU are looking at and that potentially are looking at IU and maybe Hoosiers in the future?
For what class?
We'll go this year first, and then if you have any for the 2017 class, we'll add in those as well.
Sure. For 2016, you got to think of Craig Watts. I mean, Indiana's definitely up there. He's a 4-star safety. You guys have been on him for a long time. You were the first school to offer him. He remembers that. That's really key. Up there with, USF, he's a Colorado commit, so obviously them, and then UNC right now. You got to think of the 3-star. Brandon Drayton out of Largo from the same school as Crawford and Hale. He just told me a couple minutes ago that Indiana's high on his list. Florida stopped by to see him the other day. So, he's definitely an intriguing prospect. Then you have, Pro Wells. He's kind of this under-the-radar kid. He's a 6'6" tight end, extremely athletic, yards after catch ability. He got an offer from Iowa State the other night. That was his first big-time offer. But, I think he's a big-time prospect. And lastly, Key Wetzel out of Countryside, extremely versatile. You guys have offered him. He's a 2-star athlete, should be ranked higher. Doesn't really have a bigger offer. He's kind of waiting on Miami and some of those bigger P5s, but he's definitely someone who could contribute right away. All those guys I named could contribute right away, just like Crawford did this year. And if for 2017, obviously C.J. Cotman and Adarius Lemons, those guys are the studs here. And then Kane Taylor, he's a linebacker out of Clearwater. Obviously, Matt Landers. Indiana loves Matt Landers. Those coaches talk to me all the time about him. 6'5" receiver from Admiral Farragut. And the last four names, Jordan Scott. He's a big-time defensive lineman out of Pinellas Park. Amari Burney, he's a 2018 kid. He's going to be a big-time four-star, five-star level prospect. And the last two names are Jaquez Jones. And he's one out of Clearwater, slot receiver, just got an offer from Cincinnati. Indiana loves him. They're waiting on a couple things to happen, but they're going to offer him soon. And obviously the four-star lineman out of Northside Christian, Dylan Gibbons. So those guys are your studs.
Awesome. TJ, you have any questions for Lyndon?
Yeah, I throughout the season, I know you see a lot of high school football. You see a lot of guys. Who are a couple, or however many you want to name, of the best players that just college football fans in general are going to want to keep an eye on here in the next couple of years that you think will have a big impact moving forward?
For what year? The seniors at what class?
But the ones that you've seen this season in person, okay, that you think are going to impact on the college level starting next year?
Craig Watts and Key Wetzel, those two guys for the seniors. And Pro Wells, he's got an unbelievable ceiling. He's a 6'6" tight end, as I said. His yards after catch ability for a tight end is something rare. You know, most guys aren't able at the tight end position to catch a ball and juke two guys out and get 30-yard gains. He can do that. 2017, I mean, it's C.J. Cotman and Adarius Lemons. Those two guys are very special. You know, Lemons is a 6'2" running back, and Cotman's probably the best player, in my opinion, my humble opinion, in the Tampa Bay area. He played, you know, Devin Barrett, a four-star athlete who's got offers from Alabama and Ohio State this week. And he did better than him and Nate Craig, who's a five-star receiver, top 10 player in the country. They played. C.J. Cotman was the brightest star on the stage. He also played against a four-star tight end, Jacob Mathis from Berkeley Prep. Wiped the floor with that team. I mean, every big game, C.J. Cotman shows up. I just have immense amount of respect and belief in his game. And I think the last two names I'll give you are Matt Landers and Jordan Scott. Those guys are going to have a big impact. But definitely for the junior class, it's C.J. Cotman and Adarius Lemons. And then for the senior class, Craig Watts, Pro Wells, and Key Wetzel. And throw in Brandon Drayton in there if he's in the right system.
And then one more. Is there – you know, everybody's aware of the coaching carousel, and just in general, how do you or how have you seen this year's coaching changes kind of impact the recruiting scene? Does it actually have as big an impact as everybody makes it out to be? Do you think it's a bit overblown? Or how have you seen that impact things here in the last couple of weeks?
Last week we had two to three star linebacker, Jake Hansen from Eastlake. He was committed to Iowa State. They have a coaching change. He decommits a week later. It made an immediate impact, and now he's looking for a school. You see it across the state, you know, kids that, have offers that are pulled with a new coaching staff that comes in. It affects it immensely because that relationship, if a coach is fired or he's gone, that relationship is gone. And all of a sudden they're stuck with some new guy they've never met. And relationships are everything. Trust is the biggest thing when it comes to recruiting is, you know, can I trust you? And, you know, if that coach is gone, then they have no one to trust. So it affects it immensely. It's definitely worth the hype. And trust is everything. That's all I can say.
All right. Lyndon, before we get you out of here, obviously college football, the bowl games are coming up and the playoffs are coming up. Who's your playoff picks?
For what games? For the final four?
Yeah, for the final four. It's the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl, and then the final game in Arizona.
Oh boy, yeah, I think it's going to be Clemson and Michigan State. I think they're gonna make it. For the final, I'm gonna go at Michigan State. I like what they're doing, and I like their defense, and they've been very timely this year. I'm gonna roll at Michigan State. I think they're gonna win it all.
Well, you sure do know your audience.
I'm sorry. I'm just being honest with you guys. You know, I got to be honest. That's what I think. I think, you know, they have a very good defense. Their offense is a little suspect at times, but, you know, hey, they make the big plays when they need them.
Yeah, they sure do, and it seems like they play better with the chip on their shoulder. And, you know, the national media is not going to give them a shot against Alabama. So, you know, we'll down in the Cotton Bowl, it's technically an Alabama home game since it's, you know, in the South. But I think that plays right into Michigan State's hands. They love being that underdog. They were against Ohio State. They were a little bit against Iowa, where Iowa's grabbing headlines. And they know how to make people pay for underestimating them.
But I think the winner of the Alabama Michigan State game the winner of that game will win it all, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, Lyndon, thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on. You know, keep following Lyndon on Twitter. Lyndon, tell us about your Twitter handle.
Oh, my Twitter handle is @Lyndon_O. So @LYNDEN_O.
All right. Well,
give
Lyndon,
me a follow.
Follow Lyndon. He's all over recruiting down in Pinellas County. He's also has a great eye for talent. He's the one who called that Jonathan Crawford would be starting almost from day one. And he was. He got freshman All-American honors from ESPN.com this week. So Lyndon
big
knows
deal.
What he's talking about. And it is a huge deal. And hopefully Donovan Hale finds a home somewhere. He's too talented not to. IU used him as receiver, kick returner. They had him running at quarterback as well, so he might be Mr. Everything for the Hoosiers here down the road.
Yeah, last thing, what are you guys' picks? Do you think Indiana's going to win, and who are your guys' picks for the Final Four?
I think Indiana should beat Duke. They're two-point favorites. They ended the season on a roll, but, you know, having 4 or 5 weeks off may have cooled them off a little bit. But I think their offense, it should be a shootout. Both defenses aren't great. So I'll go with the Hoosiers there. My playoff picks, I'd like to see Michigan State beat Alabama, you know, expose Alabama a little bit. Plus, when Alabama loses, those fans are furious. But I could see Clemson, you know, Clemson doesn't get the respect that they deserve. Deshaun Watson might be the best player in the country.
I agree.
And he gets no Heisman hype. It's all about Derrick Henry and all the other people. But he's the quarterback on the number one team. He takes care of the ball, and all he does is win. So I'd take Clemson over Michigan State in the final.
Yeah, last thing. Just remember the name Amari Burney for 2018. That's my last thing. Remember him.
All right. Okay. TJ, your picks.
Yeah, I think Indiana's gonna win to say, I don't know, 30-something to 20-something. I think Indiana wins by about 10 points. For the playoffs, I say Alabama knocks off Michigan State, but Michigan State certainly makes it closer than the 10-point spread. I will take Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield's Fu Manchu mustache over Clemson, and then I'll go ahead and roll with Baker Mayfield and the Oklahoma Sooners. Which as soon as I put any faith in them, I know they're gonna just blow up and be horrible on the big stage. But sure, why not?
All right, that's a surprise pick right there.
Yeah, the return of big game Bob Stoops. So we'll see.
Yes.
Well, Lyndon, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure. We'll get you more on as the season, bowl season winds down and we get into the harder recruiting season. Signing day is mid-February. And as always, we really appreciate your time and coming on.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to Indiana.
Thank you, Lyndon. Have a good one.
You too.
That was Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune. He picks Michigan State to knock off Alabama and then knock off Clemson in the final. I took the reverse. I think that Clemson would knock off Michigan State. But do not bet everything on Clemson because of me. I take no responsibility for that. And don't get mad at me if you bet the house and lose. So, TJ, let's talk a little bit more about the impact on recruiting with the Pinstripe Bowl. You know, we talked both to Matt and Lyndon, and this
the momentum IU has gotten, even though it's a 6-6 season and it's a bowl game, it is a good bowl game. You're in a major city, probably, as Matt said, the greatest city in the world. But you have a lot of alumni there. I expect there to be a lot of IU fans at Yankee Stadium. It's a 3:30 game. It's on ABC. And you could tell that, you know, the kids that Lyndon has talked to down in Florida, they know IU. Whereas sometimes you go outside of the state of Indiana, even in the state of Indiana, they're like, hey, Indiana has a football team. I think that has – the bowl game has an impact on how Indiana's viewed nationally.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's a good spot. You know, you're not jammed in with, you know, four or five other games and a couple of them that are on at the same time where you're kind of relegated to ESPN2 and going up against, a more attractive matchup. There's really not going to be a lot of other things on television at that time. So it's a good time slot. It's a good TV spot for them on ABC. Again, they've played a lot of games on ABC this year and, you know, been competitive and entertaining in pretty much all of those spots. The alumni thing, I have no idea what kind of response they're going to get ticket-wise, but it's, I think, one of the cool things about the Pinstripe Bowl is there's not going to be a ton of available seats for that game just because of the way that they lay things out. Obviously, it's in a baseball stadium, so the way things are laid out with the seating, it's not – I don't know what the capacity is for the football game, but it's not going to look real barren because there's not a ton of available seats. So you're not sitting inside of an 80,000-seat stadium where, you know, the bowl crowd shows up and it looks, you know, three-fourths empty. That's not going to be the case, which is going to look good on TV. I think from a perception standpoint, obviously you will have the opportunity to beat another Power Conference team, which I think is good. It gives the coaching staff something to point to and say, look, we had a winning record. Look, we beat two ACC teams in addition to these Big Ten teams, you know, in addition to the Conference USA champion. So I think at a point earlier, you know, the coaching staff previously had been kind of pointing to playing time and, you know, selling, look, we're building something. Well, they can really point to now, look, we're developing players. Look, yes, you could still have playing time, you earn it. And look, we have built something. I mean, we've built a program that has gone to a bowl game and won it, or at least participated in it. So I think it gives you the opportunity to sell some more effective storylines on the recruiting trail. And just from a purely quality of your program standpoint, Indiana gets this extra time to practice. Kevin Wilson said that they are using these extra practices to evaluate what they need to go recruit. And I think that's a very important point because, number one, it's going to be good for the coaches to be able to evaluate what the roster is for. Number two, it's giving these young players a chance to work more with the coaches and with their teammates in a football setting, preparing for a game that's really important to them. So that's more time to develop as you move to 2016. And that's a really big deal for a program that is bringing back a lot on defense and a lot of help on that side of the ball. They need that development. And on offense, bringing back a lot of pieces that, you know, you're not going to be working with the same quarterback that you are now, but it's a lot of guys that are going to be returning to their roles or along the offensive line are going to be stepping into new roles. So it's really important development time for the program, and that cannot be underestimated.
Yeah, and you know, when Wilson talked last week on Sunday, he said a lot of the veterans, you know, they basically went through the stretching and the warm-ups and then basically took the load off and were recovering. I wouldn't say relaxing, mm-hmm. but recovering from injuries, recuperating, and getting re-energized. Yeah. And after talking to some of those seniors like Zach Shaw and Nick Mangieri, even Marcus Oliver, who's still a young kid but played a ton of football. You know, not saying that Shaw and Mangieri are old men,
out there on a walker or anything, but you know, they look refreshed, they feel refreshed, and you're 100% right that they are looking at the young talent on this team. I talked to, I believe it was Marcus Oliver, about how are these young kids on defense doing, like in these practices, because in the regular season, all these young guys are practicing the other team's defense. So now they're starting to practice IU's defense, and they see why they're doing things on defense and why, you know, the real philosophy behind it. So, you know, this was always, you know, I think you agreed with me, but this was always the perk of the bowl game, no matter where you went, were these extra practices and the development for the young guys. So hopefully it pays off both this year and down the road, where, you know, these guys get those first team repetitions and start moving at game speed slightly.
Yeah, I think really the goal, I think, for this period of practice is twofold. First, the goal is prepare for Duke and give yourself the best chance you can to win that game. And really, like you said, for the veterans that have had a long season of, you know, really physically demanding football, I think the goal is to recuperate, re-energize. I think those are really good words for what they're trying to do. As far as the young players, the goal is beginning to grasp and understand what they are going to be required to do next season. See who can step up, see what areas for the coaches, see what areas maybe you don't have quite what you want heading into next season or into the next couple of seasons. So it gives you an opportunity to go target that in recruiting. So I do agree that these extra practices are very, very important, not just to prepare for the game, but I think just as equally important to prepare for the next season. And it gives players, you know, I know that just from a athletic standpoint, if you're able to go out for 2 or 3 weeks and practice something, knowing that, okay, this is what I'm going to be expected to do, as opposed to just being told it, like you had the chance to actually do it, it's going to make you that much more confident throughout the off season that you have a good idea of what you're going to be doing in that next season. I mean, you know, practice, I'm not going to say practice makes perfect. That's never been the case with Indiana's defense, but being familiar with something gives you more confidence with something. So if the Indiana players that are young and have not had the chance to really practice at, you know, with the first team or doing anything more than the scout team, if those young guys can take this experience throughout practice and take it forward into the off season with familiarity with the schemes and with, like you said, the philosophy of why they do things on defense, which, to be frank, sometimes I wonder that myself. If they can figure that out and have that familiarity with it, that's going to make a big difference heading into next season, just in spring ball and in fall camp. I mean, they should be ahead of where they were at this time last year just based on having these practices. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's like having a second spring ball. And you're right, you know, and evaluating talent where maybe somebody shows more potential than they showed before, or, you know, kind of fallen off, really helps you in recruiting. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they could get the win in the bowl game. We'll see. It sounded like, according to Matt, a couple of these guys might commit soon. So keep an eye out on our Twitter. I do want to point out that TJ, Fred Glass is offering $10 tickets to IU students. Usually the face value on those are 55 or 50. So IU is eating about, you know, 90% of that money. And so if you're a student in the New York City area, in the tri-state area, or if you want to just drive to New York with some buddies, I know there's a GoFundMe campaign going around Facebook for, I think it's House 405, a bunch of IU fans who are seniors. $10 student tickets, it's not a too difficult of a drive. It is a long drive, and being in the winter, it might be a tougher drive, but go see New York City during the holidays, go to the bowl game. It'll be worth it, and $10 tickets should help you get into the game and lighten the load on gas money and all that stuff.
Yeah. It would be a trip that, as a student, you know, if you don't have a lot of real life responsibilities yet, why the heck not? I mean, it's something that we hope becomes an annual thing that Indiana's playing in the postseason, but you can't take it for granted. You sure can't. It's something
It's one of those road trips you tell your kids in college. I remember my dad, he went to Penn, and there was a couple nights during the weekend they'd drive up to Brooklyn in New York and go to Nathan's on Coney Island. So those are the stories that transcend generations. And if you want to do the road trip, that'd be awesome. But TJ, we are out of time. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the weekend and the warm weather in Indianapolis. So hopefully you can get out, maybe go to the park and get some things done.
Yeah, it's five year anniversary for my wife and I. So
I
know she's definitely not listening. Yeah, I know she's definitely not listening, but happy anniversary to her anyway. I'll be sure to tell her in person so she actually hears it.
Yeah, maybe buy some flowers too.
I don't want to spoil her too much.
Yeah, maybe on the 6 year anniversary. But anyway, congratulations to you too.
Yeah.
Enjoy a nice dinner and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will have a lot more preview content for Duke. We'll dive deeper into the matchups and all that good stuff. We'll have the typical primer and get to know your opponent, all the typical stuff we do, plus the cool, a few other cool bull coverage things, I'm sure. And I know we'll have another podcast before the Duke game. So in the meantime, enjoy the holiday season, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening. We are sponsored by D'Angelo's in Bloomington. So if you are craving good Italian food, go down there. It's casual atmosphere, very good food. They'll take good care of you at D'Angelo's. It's on 3rd Street by the College Mall. It's in the strip mall next to it. So go there, enjoy the food. Also follow us on Twitter. It's at @Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have all your news for the bowl game, recruiting and all of that stuff. So follow us there. Our Facebook page is down. We're having some security issues. Apparently my name actually is not Hoosier Huddle, and Facebook won't believe me. So do bear with us on that if you're looking for our Facebook page. Otherwise, keep going to HoosierHuddle.com. We appreciate your viewership and your comments. So keep commenting, keep tweeting at me, and have a great day.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.